Blog Talk Radio. All too often.
I just stopped the tape. Whoops. How you doing, Scott?
Well, not too bad. How are you doing, Don?
Oh, if it got any better, me and Ann Margaret would still be together. Don't tell me. Anyway, what's going on, my friend?
I don't have to. You just did.
She just got out of the chat room. Damn. She knows Annie is my...
Annie's your girl?
Annie's my girl. 50 I hear a love affair with Annie. What's going on at the UAW, buddy? What's going on?
Not a whole lot.
Let me try to find it. I got to find something. I can.
Okay.
No, I'm fine.
What's going on? I'd like to know, seeing how we got the folks down at Arlington listening in. First of all,
we do.
Big howdy. Howdy. And would be interested to hear what they're hearing about their product down there. I haven't heard anything lately about the Tahoe, the Yukons, and the Suburbans. I know that it was reported this last week that it looks like Oshawa, Canada, is going to be getting the light duty from Mexico. And I've been trying to confirm that. There have been some articles online about that. And so that would make things real interesting in our plant.
Yeah.
So...
Yes, it would.
Yeah. Would make things really interesting. So, play it by ear on that one, I guess. Other than that, pushing GMS a little bit harder now.
Oh, are they?
And, Yeah. And, of course, you know, that's one-sided. Managers not having to do their part of it. It's getting a little more interesting.
I know. A lot of young people.
Some of my brothers and sisters are pushing back.
Hang on for a minute. A lot of young people like it because they get off to harder jobs, and I understand that. But one of these days, you're going to have seniority to get a good job. And... you will not be able to. You can join a team. You can join the team and learn all the jobs in that team. If you let, I'm totally against this. Sorry, I am totally against it. We've already lost a lot through your seniority. This is the last, like the last Omegan. Your vacation and this, you know. If you're
right.
Tier one, yeah. Just think about it that way. You live in that plant to get enough seniority to get a good job, a decent job. It's not going to kill you because the older you get, you appreciate those nice jobs. Still working hard.
Sure.
But not quite. You're using more of your brain than your body.
Right.
So just heads up to the young people that really want this. That I noticed when before I retired, they wanted all the, they just clamored for rotating. And older guys with seniority said, no, we don't want to do it. And we didn't do it. I wasn't involved in it. Chassis one department.
Right.
Give young people a little heads up. Eventually the old timers are going to retire and you're going to be that old timer. Keep that in mind.
Right. It comes around, you know, and unfortunately, a lot of the old timers didn't tell these people, like on this last contract, why it was a bad contract to vote for.
Mm-hmm.
So some of those people have a little animosity towards the seniority workers. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, you can't say I didn't tell you anything because I did. You know what I mean? I told people.
Right.
So.
Yeah, it's up to,
I mean.
It's up to each individual. I just didn't. They were going to have, at one time, me walk all the way down to Fifth Avenue for one break and use one break to walk all the way back to Final Line and then back to my job. I said, I'm not doing that. There's no way I'm going to do that. Thank you very much. And
right.
They said, well, you're out of the loop because you have to, all the jobs are really too far. I said, well, keep me out of the loop because I'm not rotating. And my job was hard enough as it was anyway. I just didn't want to walk all over the plant four times a day.
Right.
And
right.
I know I promised to read an email today, but I was told to maybe wait another week by Monday morning. I talked to him and I read it to him. I sent him a copy and he said, damn, how are you going to talk about it? And I said, I don't know. Give me some hints. He said, wait at least another week so the, you know, smoke clears a little bit. And
right.
I believe I'll do that because, man, he said, do you guys have a union there? I said, no, apparently not. And that, he said, Jesus, sounds like this guy's bird dogging. I said, yeah. Well, he was bird dogging before I even retired. So I know exactly the name that was in that email. So I know all about this guy.
Wow.
So, yeah. So I will try to, he's going to help me with it. And then I'm going to let the person that wrote it read it and make sure that's okay with him. And if it is, or her, I will read it. But the final word on it is the person that wrote it in the first place.
Right. Well,
and
okay.
There you go.
That's fine.
Say that.
Well, I mean, I guess, you know, like I said, you want to make sure whoever wrote that into the show that they're going to be okay with, you know, certain parts you're going to have to talk about. And that's cool, you know, a little courtesy.
Right. And I got emails today. I don't know when they came in. I got them today that stated this morning, early this morning, that I can't read them. It's all political to our show. It's all political. And they are UAW members, but I can't read them. They're just one-sided. And there's no reason for some of the accuracy. You know, you just can't blast her. If it was Trump or Clinton or Gary Johnson or Stein, you just can't blast a person and have me read it. I'm just not going to do it. One person said, well, my brother works for her campaign staff in New York, and I've got some inside information. Well, good. Sign your name to it, and maybe I'll read it. But
right.
I won't read something like that. No, this isn't a political show. But although politics plays a great deal into the future of General Motors, Chrysler, and Ford, in my belief, anyway.
Well, I agree with you on that. I do.
And good news, a lot of Republicans are backing away from supporting TPP. A lot of Republicans are backing away. Like Rubio, he don't want to talk about it now. And he's the last vote in the fast track. He was the deciding vote. Now he doesn't even want to talk about it. And there's other people, but they're all running for political office right now. And right now they're all on board with Trump, against TPP. So, and Clinton, Hillary said the same thing. I don't believe
Yeah.
I just want to try no. I don't, I might not believe it, but she did say she was she's against it now. So keep
that
in mind.
That was after last fall. She said this was a gold standard of all trade agreements. Well,
yeah.
Understand, it's not a trade agreement. It's not a trade deal. It's a treaty. It's completely different than a trade deal. And this treaty has no escape clause in it at all.
And did anybody listen to Obama's UN speech?
I did not. What did it say?
You've got to go listen to it. All about what I talk about on Saturday night, one world order. We're going to lose some freedoms, but this is what he thinks is best for us and everything else. You got to listen to this UN speech. It'll blow your mind.
Is this coming from the same president who said that we're too ignorant to think for ourselves?
Yeah, that one. That'd be the one.
I'll never forget that, when he was addressing that auditorium, when he said that us Americans, that we're too stupid to think for ourselves. And,
yeah, we have
to. That was...
Yeah. But anybody that's New World Order or Agenda 21 or something like that, go ahead and listen to his UN speech, his last one. Please listen to it. Wake up. That's all. But that's got to do with building vehicles and keeping these jobs in this country. We're not going to get jobs back. I'm not believing that. I believe maybe some will come back because we've got some back, But no, we're not going to ever get jobs back. What we can do is lift all these regulations, and people are smart. We don't need to send jobs. We can make our own jobs right here and get trade agreements just like Britain's doing or going to do as soon as they get out of the EU, if they get out.
Right.
And I'm still doubting that.
I don't know what the timeline is for that. I know they wanted to be out sooner than later. I do know that. And I know that it made a lot of people very anxious, I guess would be the word I'm looking for. And along
not
with
on
financial terms. So, I don't know. See what happens with that. I mean, we got our own mess right here in the United States. You got the debate will be tomorrow night, and that ought to be interesting. And it's just
It is what it is.
I mean, that's our choices, folks.
And it might not be good. yeah.
Right. I mean, the system has decided.
Are you in the? Are you on the chat room?
Yeah.
All
right. I am now.
UAW Gypsy just wrote something.
Huh.
Would you read it?
You want me to read it out loud?
Well, I guess so. Isn't that why you put it in the chat room? I don't know. Well, I'll be damned. I don't know. UAW Gypsy, can we read that? Or is that personal in the chat room only? What's up? Give me a yay or a nay. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, there you go. A yay or nay.
Because I know... I know the guy that wrote the email should be able to. He's definitely got enough time to get over there to that new paint shop.
Right.
That's Anyway, till he says yay or nay, we'll let it sit for a while. And yeah, I read something about the light duty going bye-bye too, and man, that's something we don't need.
Well, no, because they're gearing up for that right now. And if that changes, because the article I read said that Osh would start the overflow for the light-duty trucks in 2018, which would be, you know, why would you bring it, you know, to Flint for 6 months? You know, because if you move the vehicle here for a while, within so many months before you start production up there, you're going to want to move it up there and get it running up there at the same time. So it doesn't make sense to, you know, kill it one place, bring it to another place, then kill it off again, and then throw it up north. That's just not good business. You know, try to make that move one time. And if that happens, if it does happen, that would definitely cut into the every Saturday schedule that they had planned. Don't know. You know, it's hard to say because nobody is willing to give you any information on that. So, you know, I mean, as I get information on that, I'll definitely share it. But, you know, it is what it is there, I guess. We know what's going on. We know they're moving production of the bigger, more profitable vehicles out of Mexico. And,
right.
They aim to build the cars down there. And unless I'm mistaken, we now have two Chinese vehicles made that are being sold here that are made in China now. I believe it's the Chevrolet Trax, and I believe the Buick, what's the new one? Encore, I think they call it. It's a little crossover style SUV. I believe that's made in China now. So, interesting. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And speaking of interesting, did you see what was made available for the public to see at the Flint Farmers Market yesterday?
No, I didn't see it.
There is another vehicle being, it's going to be made in Louisiana. It'd be nice to know if they've got the Belle Shreveport plant. I would hope to think that they got it there. I'll try to get information out right now. It's a three-wheeled car. I don't know.
Three-wheel. I've seen it before. I didn't see it down there, but I've seen it before.
Right. Well, they made it available so people could sit in it, look at it. It's got anti-lock brakes, it's got airbags, it's got seat belts.
Right.
It gets, don't quote me, I'm trying to remember, I'm trying to find the article and I'm having a hard time finding it, but I believe they said that this vehicle would get up to 84 miles per gallon. Now,
right.
It's something in the line of the smart car. So, you know, I mean, that's not going to be for everybody. It's going to start out at $7,300. So, that's the, I guess that's the starting price, I believe, what they're saying.
And I think back wheel turns, the two are standard, like a standard axle. I think the back wheel turns, if I remember right. Two in the front, one in the back.
The wheels turn in the front.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Two wheels in the front and one in the back.
See, the one I've seen, you had a straight axle in the front, and it when you turned, the back wheel turned you. That's the one I seen on a tape. I didn't see it in person.
Right.
Yeah, some guy was driving it. Interesting, if you like a little motorcycle with a little cover, yeah, that's what it basically is.
Oh, it's an Elio,
yeah.
And it's up to 84 miles per gallon, and it starts out at $7,300. So, there you go.
Yeah. All right.
It's an interesting vehicle.
Now, what's happening in Volkswagen in Tennessee? UAW workers, their worker group loses representation?
Yes.
What's?
I think that was the, I believe that was the group that was also vying for recognition. And I believe that they lost their bid to be recognized. And so I think they pulled out completely. So I'm contacted somebody that you and I both know, and hopefully they'll get back with me on that. So see what happens. It will be, this Elio will be manufactured at the facility at the former Shreveport, Louisiana. So I'm glad they utilized that building down there.
Yeah.
And they're targeting 90% utilization of North American content. So that's going to create at least 1,500 direct jobs in the Shreveport area, with an additional 1,500 jobs in supply base. So that helps. I think the number that they're saying here is that it's going to create 18,000 indirect jobs nationwide. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, time they make something here, it's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
Very good.
One of the owners, I believe, graduated from Kettering University. The guys that helped design the vehicle. So, gives you a tie right back to Flint, which is kind of cool. So, yeah, it's a two-seater. So, I caught a glimpse of it on the news this morning. They're talking about it. They didn't show a whole lot. They showed people getting in and out of it, and some people were showing interest in it.
Right.
It would, I think that'd probably be great around, somewhere like Ypsilanti or East Lansing, where, you know, parking's tight for some of these kids. I said, I don't know if I want to drive it on the highway, but that's just me. That's personal preference. I'd like to have a little more metal wrapped around me than that, you know. But I mean, as far as inside the inner city, that'd probably be, you know, fantastic for a place, or somewhere like, say, Key West, you know, where traffic's tight, you know, and space is limited. It'd probably be a great place for some of these people to have one of these. But you get it any color you want, I guess, just about. So it's pretty cool. Like I said, it's nice to see that they're going to make that at the old Shreveport, Louisiana place, and they're going to put American people to work, and they're going to try to use up to 90% of American content to do it. And they have as we're speaking right now, they have a ticker tape. They have 59,468 reservations on these already. So they've got almost 60,000 of these things sold before they've even started production. That's
all
pretty
right.
Good. But, well, we'll see if the UAW gets involved in that, too. I don't know.
It'll save me from having to find my glasses.
Said that Canada, he was going to do final build of the truck, but the parts were going to come from Fort Wayne. Said the guy about the job was told man didn't know about the manpower list that somebody made up. So, two different things being said there. First part, of course, is that Canada has a final build of the truck and that those parts come from Fort Wayne. And then the second conversation you guys was having that individual didn't know about the manpower list and that it was made up. I heard something this week that I was not aware of, and if Gypsy's still listening, I heard we have a material representative over at the new paint building. I was told there would be no material people over there. And as Gypsy knows, certain classifications over there was going to have to do it all. They're going to have to drive four trucks and possibly tuggers and move their own equipment around. And now I'm hearing that we have a material representative over there. So that was kind of news to me. And I've been working on that. I put the line out on that on Thursday, try to get an answer. And why wasn't that job posted? And go by seniority. So I'm not saying that'd be a job you want anyway, but it was enlightening, nevertheless, to find out that there was somebody over there, because the shop chairman before we, the one we have now, helped set up negotiations for that, and he chose not to take anybody over there as far as material goes, from what I was told. So that kind of really, I think, put a hurt on the material people, because I believe there are people who know how to drive a fork truck that should be working on those docks to unload those trucks. And that's just my personal, you know, opinion on it. But I don't think it's fair to throw people over there in a paint department and then tell them, oh, by the way, you're going to have a driver's license and you're going to unload these trucks. That's just a recipe for disaster, because those paint totes are big, they're heavy, and if somebody's driving a fork truck and handling those paint totes, they're supposed to have gone through hazardous training for that, because that's considered hazardous waste. So the safety aspect on that is concerning as well. So haven't seen any answer on that yet. So I'll have to wait and see if I get an answer. Hopefully next week I can tell you I found something else new about that. But as we go, Canada, Canada went down the wire on their contract. They have a tentative. I did not see when they're going to be voting on the tentative. I'm sure it's out there. It was pretty interesting. I did get to look at the highlights. Talking about how bargaining advanced social unionism, and that was from their secretary who wrote that. Investments for Canada was written by the Master Bargaining Committee Chair. He's also a plant chairman at the Oshawa plant, and they are going to get product. They said that Fenimore didn't want to talk about product commitment until after the contract, which you know as well as I do that that's a key part of negotiations, is talking about what we're going to be building and for how long we're going to be building it. So with that being said, that had I been this individual, I'd want to know what we're going to be building at these locations. Of course, the length of the life of the product, and also what the next product in line after that is, in case somebody wants to change model years, you know, part of the way through the contract or towards the end of the contract, that future products would be also secured too. And there is some language there about that. They want to get a, you know, like this, they want to get a ratification vote with $6,000. That's, and then lump sums for the next 3 years of $2,000 each. So they are going to increase their base rate by 2% upon ratification. So if you have, I'm trying to see here, they have the current assembler is at $34.41. You get a 68-cent wage increase, which would bring him up to $35.09. He would get another wage increase in 2019, which would bring him to $35.78 an hour. And then a production technician would be at $36.12. And then your tradespeople would be at $42.47. So they got a better wage increase than what we did in the States.
Right.
New hires would get a $1,000 lump sum prior to the December shutdown in 2019. So you heard that correct. New hires after ratification receive $1,000 three years later? What it says, it says all new hires after ratification receive $1,000 lump sum prior to the December shutdown in 2019.
Wow.
In 2017, 18, and 19, a lump sum bonus of $2,000 be paid to each traditional member, excluding those hired under the new hire program prior to December shutdown. And the new hire, trying to see where they talked about the new hires. There's a total of $554 million invested in new investment. Excuse me. Excuse me. At the in Canada, Oshawa was going to be $400 million capital investment for facilities, tools, machinery, and equipment support. St. Catharines was to get $150 million for facilities, tools, and machinery and equipment to support. And then Woodstock was to get $4 million for facility reconfigurations to improve material flow. St. Catharines was to go for the latest technology for fuel efficiency into existing models and the next generation transmission module. Also, implementation of land and gas/green initiatives. Oshawa would have the implementation of new flexible assembly module, enabling the ability to meet unmet demand in the critical market segment. It also has the mid-cycle enhancement extension of the Cadillac XTS, and they also got the extension of the Chevrolet Impala. So, I mean, these guys, you know, they did get some things for the people. They did get some gains for the skilled trades. They got some work pullback. They got some commitment to hiring some new apprentices. There was some things there that was, it was admirable that the American counterparts couldn't pull off. The part that I'm not seeing on here, though, they're going to do the new hires and their in-progression wage schedule. So people who started out at 2049, the new wage would be 2092, which is a 43-cent increase. There's people with 10 years who have been in progression for 10 years will immediately catch up to the base rate effective immediately, which would be $34.15 is what it says on the scale right now. The pensions for the new hires are the ones who are converted to full-time status after the ratification will join a new defined contribution pension plan. The plan will require a mandatory contribution of 4% of earnings from both the member and the company. And if members elect to contribute an additional 1%, the company shall provide another 2%. They've done away with the pensions up there for new hires. So that's going to be gone. That's a kind of a scary thing. We had a lot of discussion around our pension and around pensions on this last contract time, and it looks like it appears to be pretty well mirrored up in Canada with what we've got. Except for the pays. The pay is a little bit different. It looks like they won a little more money, and I'm sure as more things come out, some of our listeners that are up in Canada will hopefully write into the show or make a posting somewhere so we know what's going on and what they think about it. I don't know.
Let's not forget their cost of living is a lot higher than ours. Their taxes and cost of living.
Yeah, you know, and they do have part of their taxes are higher because they have a national health care program in place up there.
That's right.
Man, that's been in place for, 15 years now?
Longer than that.
It's been a long time.
Yeah.
Long time.
They sure pay for it. I was, a friend of mine lived up in Baldwin. I'd go up there, and she was, these people don't have money. They don't have a lot of money. So what they have to do, if they have a big purchase, say a furnace goes out, they have to backdate all the checks, write out all these checks and hand them to the person. And every month this person will take a check in and cash it. And that's how they pay for their stuff. I've never seen anything like it. But I guess she said everybody does it up here because the taxes are so much. And she showed me her pay stub, and I couldn't believe what she paid. She didn't make near the money we make, but she paid like double the taxes. It was pretty amazing.
Wow.
And she worked at a hospital.
Wow. Well, they're going to have 700 new hires will be given permanent full-time jobs, but they'll have no defined pension. So, I mean, they're hiring some people, which is, good to go. The terms of their current pension plans remain unchanged. The lifetime pension and the 30 and out special allowance to continue in current amount. So the basic lifetime per month for service was they went in classes A, B, and C. Was 60. They ranged from $68 to $68.50. And then they have Class D, whoever that is, that's at 81. So your special allowance per month to age 65 would be $3,515. And then for the Class D, it's $3,895. So, and if you're pre-1987 retirees, there's a special one-time lump sum payment of $1,500 per retiree or surviving spouse. So, you know how they did General Motors 500, and they did the Chrysler did 500 twice. So
right.
You're gonna get $1,500 per night. Pre-1987 retiree. And like I said, they're getting a 2% wage increase in their base pay. And they're also going to get accumulated cost of living allowance, COLA, at 59 cents, remains unchanged. The quarterly COLA will be suspended until June 1st, 2020, at which time the adjustment will be reactivated. So basically, for the next 3 years,
yeah,
you're not going to get no COLA. You're going to get 59 cents an hour, and that's all you're going to get until June 1st of 2020, at which time the adjustment would be reactivated. So you've given up cost of living. So,
oh, boy.
It's really not... I don't know. I guess I'd say it's a bad contract. And, you know, in my opinion, I'd say vote no on it. There's a lot of good in this. And there's a lot of bad to it also. And I'd be concerned as far as, like I said, product lifetime and product availability sure does play a factor into it. I mean, folks can't just look at these signing bonuses. You have to look at in 2 years, am I still going to have a job? Because unemployment sure don't, and I know they do have unemployment up there, but in subpay, that sure doesn't abrogate a 40-hour check. So I'd be a little more concerned about product investment and the products that we're going to have compared to lump sum bonuses. And like I said, you know,
right.
They have a national health care, so that doesn't play much into negotiations. So I don't know. Like I said, Asha was supposed to have been, you know, closed up, so they got new life. What price does that new life cost? That'd be my only concern. So that's what's happening as far as I know up in Canada. Like I said, I know we've got some people who've written into the show before from the Canadian Auto Workers. We'd love to hear from one of you and maybe explain what's going on up there in the Great North and get a take on somebody who's actually there and see what they think of this whole thing. Because I'm sure there's some people that are like you and myself that have been there a while and have went through this stuff with a fine-tuned comb and have figured some stuff out, you know?
All right.
So.
They've only got about, I don't know, 4,000 something GM employees up there.
Yeah.
Not very many.
They have, no. Yeah, 3,900 General Motors employees up there.
3,900.
They're going to be voting, I guess. today.
Oh.
They have ratification meetings today.
No.
But it does give a 10-year pay grid for the new hires. 10 years. Wow.
10 years. Wow. Wow. I don't know. I don't know if the auto workers have changed in Canada or not, like they have down here. Now, if they're like the, you know, the people they hire now, oh, they'll pass that, no problem. But the old old guard in Canada would never go for this. You're not going to touch their cola.
No, no. Well, I think that mentality was laid to rest when they laid Buzz Hargraff down after he passed away.
Yeah.
They've had two presidents since then. And, you know, I agree with you. It appears as though they've caught the American cancer, so to say.
Right. Well, we'll find out sometime tonight.
Yeah, whether it passed or not, yeah.
Yeah.
Like I said, cost of living, pensions, the wages. I mean, we'll see how they feel about the tiered workforce. You know what I mean? We'll see. That'd be real interesting. See what they do with the tiers, don't you think?
Yeah. I'm interested in that, yes.
We'll see what happens. Like I said, before the night's over, we should know something as far as ratification goes. They've only got, 3 complexes now, you know. So, got the Oshawa, St. Catharines, and I'm sure
right.
We have all 3 of them vote tonight, I would imagine, don't you?
Yeah, I would assume. I would assume that all 3 voted today.
Right. And that way they know what's going on and whether they got a full agreement or not. And my word, I mean, what happens if you have to go back to the bargaining table? You know,
well,
make things that more interesting, wouldn't it?
Yeah. On the WSWS.org page website, it said build rank and file committees to resist Unifor sellout. And Unifor is determined to force through a new 4-year agreement with General Motors Canada before 4,000 auto workers it claims to represent have had any chance before they've had any chance to read and study its provisions. Oh, does that sound familiar?
That's amazing.
Wow.
Push it through.
Yeah.
Right?
Don't let the folks read it. Or just give them all the goodies and not let them look at the real McCoy. Wow. Well, they taken after their big brother down here.
Yeah. If it's that bad, they're going to push it through. And then it gets through, and then you go, well, I didn't see that. Well, it was there the whole time. You just must have overlooked it, you know?
Yeah, so really overlooked it. But, hell, most of the people don't
right.
read it anyway. They won't read it anyway. As long as there's money
right.
up front, that's all they care about, the money up front. And not
right.
all of them, but majority. So why read it?
Right.
They want to see what the signing bonus is.
Yeah.
I'd like to see them come out contract without a signing bonus and see how far they'd get.
Right. You know, I didn't find it in any of these articles, but I believe that this is the last year that Canada is going to be making the Equinox. I believe the Equinox is being moved. They're going to make the Equinox smaller. The 2018 model will no longer be available with a V6. They're talking about 2018 being able to put a diesel. I read that today, that there's going to be a diesel motor available for the Equinox. So it'd be the Equinox, the Cruze, and the Colorado and Canyon will have diesel motors in them. And I'm just telling you, you know, if price of gas goes up, which it probably is going to, everybody knows that diesel goes up along with gas prices now. So the oil companies can get you coming or going. I can get you on the gas, or I can get you on the diesel.
No, that's true.
That's would be interesting to see how that plays out. What I have to find out is how much is the diesel motor going to cost extra in these vehicles. I know in the Cruze, it's considerably more. I believe it's like $4,500 more to get a diesel motor as compared to four-cylinder.
Right. Now, while there's a break in the action, how long are we going tonight? I know you got wacky work hours.
Yeah. We'll see how it's just you and I right now. We can just go to 8:30, I guess. That's
okay
with you.
Yeah. I was about to change it to 8 o'clock when you usually want to get off.
Oh.
Make the change while we have the change to make.
Well, if you want to go 8, we could do 8 o'clock. That'd be fine, too.
Show. You do whatever you want. I'm just here. I'm here. Running the board.
Yeah.
Whatever you decide.
Yeah, I guess
sir.
We can go 8 o'clock tonight. Hopefully we'll have Brian and Rebecca next week. That would make things a little more interesting, probably. The diesel motor, real quick. Yeah, let's run to 8 o'clock. The diesel motors, that they're going to run those in the vehicles, like you said. The Equinox is going to join the Cruze and the Canyon and, Colorado. I think the Canyon is the GMC version, right?
Right.
I think it is, anyway.
I think. I believe so.
Huh?
I said, yeah. You're right. Here, keep rolling.
Yeah.
You're doing.
The 2000 and motor, I'm trying to skim through on this Wall Street Journal article because my neighbor came down for dinner and I was joking. I said, so you go out and buy one tomorrow, huh? He said, no. He said he'd read an article somewhere, and this wasn't the one. He said that's where he found out that the Equinox is going to go to a smaller platform. He said it's going to be more narrow, shorter, will not have a V6 option, and I think he said will no longer have an all-wheel drive option either. And he said you'll be stuck with, I think he said a 1.4 turbocharged motor or a 1.8 naturally aspirated motor, or you have to go to the diesel motor, which I believe would be a four cylinder also. So, be interesting to see how that's going to play out because, There's a lot of Equinoxes on the road right now. I didn't know there were that many out there. So I really started paying attention. There's a lot.
Yeah, so, there is.
Nice
vehicle.
Yeah, and I know why they're doing this. It's because the government's imposed, in my opinion, unrealistic fuel mileage standards. I mean, my word. I'm now an owner of a truck. I bought a used truck. It doesn't seem to be getting that bad of gas mileage. It's not my car, okay? It's a truck. But because
right.
the trucks are out there, they got to figure out to average out between the trucks. They're going to make more smaller cars and lighter cars so they get better fuel mileage so that they can average out the industry standard to bring it up higher, try to meet, like I said, unrealistic goals set out by the EPA. My word. As long as you and I have been growing up, a truck's a truck. And we know that a truck didn't get the same gas mileage as a car.
Right.
But that doesn't matter, I guess. So they want to, you know, to do this, and it gives people, you know, limited availability as far as the vehicles that you really, you know, really, really want. So, I don't know. They're saying that this new diesel Equinox, granted, it's going to be smaller and it'll be lighter, but that would get them, I guess they're saying, in the 40 miles to gallon range on the highway, which is, you know, my word. You're getting that right now with some V6s, aren't you? Real close to that in some V6s right now, you know, so...
That's right.
You know what you're really picking up. I know some of these V6s are getting 33 miles per gallon. So another thing you have to worry about is that price option. Diesel motors cost more. So just things to think about. Real quick, Dennis Williams was out, and he said that the UAW support for Trump was less than has been on the recent GOP candidates. They've done some kind of a poll, I guess, and they said that one in every four UAW members, active members, is supporting Trump. So I thought that was an interesting article. You know, somebody who was doing the article didn't ask the question, you know, why didn't you guys stand behind Bernie Sanders when he was leading in the polls? But nobody was asking that question.
Who did the polling?
Who did the polls? Know, it doesn't say. Interesting.
Yep. Was it there?
I know he did this with...
People from region get on the phones and call people and ask them like they usually do. If that's the poll, I don't believe.
I don't know. My wife fielded a call this week from somebody from Solidarity House, and I think they caught an earful. My wife
I know.
understands that I'm not appreciative of my union dues going out and all the campaign material they're sending out. It's definitely not cheap stuff they're sending out. This is top This is top shelf stuff they're putting out here. So
it doesn't matter if it was for a Republican or a Democrat. You know what? Your money wasted since they claim they're broke all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
It doesn't say where they got their information. It was Bernie Woodall from Reuters.
Yeah.
Is, the one who got this, and that was shared, and details were added by Automotive News.
Right.
So that's where this one article came from, with more stuff added to it. It does not say where they got their information or who did the polling.
Well, they might be right. They might be wrong. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I don't believe polls anyway. I don't believe any poll. Depends on how they ask the question and who they're asking. Yeah, I just don't believe it. Any of them. So, just your homework. That's all you have to do. Make your own educated evaluation of the four people that are running for president and go vote. That's simple as that. Don't listen to nobody tell you anything, especially from me. I'd throw that in. Just
go.
Do your own homework and put the person in that you think will do the job for the country.
Yeah. Or, you know, put those glasses on, the mirror glasses on, the ones that, you know, when you look into them, you're looking back at yourself and say, and what does this individual offer me or my family personally?
You know, right.
What are they going to do for me? You know, every one of the candidates, or I shouldn't say everyone, most of the candidates have some really good ideas. Some of them, they don't have such great ideas. You know, like I said, Don, you hit it right in the nose. You gotta go out and do your homework and see, you know, how that plays out for you. It's important that people understand how that works.
I think we have a phone call here, sir. And I think it's Scott. I think it's Scott. Hang on. Scott, is that you?
Are you talking to me?
Oh, gosh. That's Rebecca the Badass.
Yeah.
Wow. We're about to close up shop.
Hi, guys. Sorry I've been gone for a little while.
Scott, this would be Rebecca that's on the show.
Heard. Hey.
Rebecca the Badass.
Hi, Scott.
Oh, that's
sorry.
Nice to meet your acquaintance.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
Last Friday, about 3 minutes before we were shutting down, and I had to extend the show. And tonight, Rebecca shows up right at about a little at 8:01, and we're going to 8:00.
Oh, okay. Well, I just wanted to say hi. I knew it was getting late, but, you know, I've had kind of a lot going on at home and needed to take care of some personal time. But I wanted to let you guys know that I forgot about you, and I wanted to check in with you real quick.
Well, we can go a little longer. How you doing? We understand why you didn't explain to us why you're not on. We know.
Well,
tell us.
Well, I had really hoped to be on with you guys last week, and then, you know, scheduling things happened at the very last minute, and I couldn't even let you guys know about it. But I'm doing okay. I'm like a month into being on the line full time, which is just crazy. But I'm doing okay now. I was nearly kicked off the team the very next day because I had a bad first day. Was on the line. I got put on a job where I had to, you know, screw in bolts. And I did fine. I got the job and I did fine. But about hour 6 of our 10-hour shift, my hand started cramping.
No.
It was really bad too, because it was Charlie horsing in my hand. So I couldn't move my fingers. And I'm like, oh my God. And of course it put me on, I mean, it's just that fast. And I was behind on the line. So people from in front of the car had to come back and do the part of the job I wasn't able to get to yet. So it made everybody a little leery of me and upset. And the next day they're like, she can't do this job. And I'm like, hey, just a minute here. can't, I mean, you're telling me that nobody had this problem when they started this job and they're like, no. I'm like, really? Because that's just odd to me, you know. I said, but I was very clear that I've never worked on this kind of a job before. And I
right.
think that it's only fair that you give me a chance to get this down. So they really tried to get rid of me off the team that next day, but actually management made them keep me on. And it took a little while, but I got all the jobs on the line down now, and I'm feeling pretty confident about it. And then I went in the last day, Friday night, and they said, we may be moving you. I'm like, oh, my God.
Uh-oh.
So, but I'm a floater, you know. New full timers are floaters, so I may, I may be moving. But we got a ton of stuff happening in Toledo. I don't know, I haven't been on to hear what's going on in some of the other plants. I mean, I know about Sterling Stamping's getting kind of geared up there, and some stuff happening up there. But, you know, our place is cutting hours, and you know, so there's a lot of shifting around of employees, and part-time workers are getting, you know, taken their hours taken away because full-timers are taking those hours because they're not getting overtime anymore. So
right.
a lot's happening down this way. What's
wow.
happening with you guys?
Well, I'm just, I'm breathing. That's all I'm doing. But Scott, you probably could tell me something. I'm just living.
Yeah, we were scheduled to get the overflow work from Palau, Mexico, and
sure.
now there's questions as to whether we're going to get that or not, because I think if that will, if I remember right, somebody wrote into the show and said that that is going to be going to Oshawa, Canada, which
yeah.
gives them a lifeline, and that they'll be getting parts from Fort Wayne. So those are the final assembly in Canada, and they'll get the parts from Fort Wayne, Indiana. So we were gearing up to work every Saturday next year. I think we'll still end up working every Saturday next year. They had put a census out where asking employees to mark off which Saturdays that they did not want to work, and there were some employees that marked every Saturday. And they were told that, well, you can't do that. They said, then why'd you ask me? You asked me which ones I didn't want to work. I didn't want to work none of them. Which my answer is we resort back to the national contract, which says you'll work two Saturdays to get one off. So, that's still being looked at right now at our plant. Like I said, Oshawa's got some lifeblood pumping into them right now, which is a good thing for our Canadian brothers and sisters. They're investing some money at three facilities up there. We'll total over a half a billion, with a B, dollars. And,
wow.
Speaking of some good news right now, I mean, it's not the best news, but it's better than bad news, is that Honeywell and the UAW have taken a short break, and that they are going to resume contract talks in October.
Oh, okay.
So,
good.
Our thoughts and prayers go out with our brothers and sisters who are still locked out at Honeywell in two different locations right now as they fight for their jobs. It was sent to Mexico from a corporation that's making billions of dollars of profits, and they said they can't afford that, you know.
Right.
Don, you had asked earlier, it was the American Council of Employees, ACE, was formed on the heels of the 2014 election down at Volkswagen, and they wanted to represent 1,500 of the workers. And what had happened, I guess, on Thursday, said that the ACE membership amongst the plant workers had fallen to below 15%, and that's the threshold for recognition by Volkswagen. So when that happened, they didn't have to recognize them anymore, I guess, under law. So they're gone right now. They said that they are still meeting with 45. The DAW says that they have verified as representing at least 45% of the workers at the plant, which would be allowing the union members to meet regularly with management. As we know, that's a completely different meeting with management. That's under a different law, I guess. It's where they're trying to do a works council, and which would limit the representation to the membership. So. And that's all I'm going to say about that for right now. I mean, we'll just keep an eye on the news to see what happens in Volkswagen, because I know Volkswagen is currently, I do believe, back in court fighting the National Labor Review Board's decision as far as representing the UAW workers down there. So that would be, I guess it'll come down to what the courts say eventually, and we'll just try to keep our eyeballs peeled on the news. Hopefully we find something. We'll let you all know as soon as we can.
Well, I do have a couple updates on my appeals to the UAW.
Oh, really?
I had that. Yes, I do. I finally got, it's in the last month here, everything. I've gotten a couple letters. One of them is on the union dues overcharging or overpayment of union dues by part-time workers that I wrote and sent up. I filed an appeal to the Public Review Board because the letter I got was that it was turned down. It stated that the wording in the Constitution wasn't intended for the auto workers. So that was a very interesting little statement, since the Constitution is written for auto workers. That was very confusing to me. So I wrote an appeal to the Public Review Board stating that there is nowhere in the Constitution that it separates that wording was intended for non-auto workers, so that it should apply to the auto workers. So I did send that up, and I got a reply saying that actually I shouldn't have written it to the Public Review Board because my petition was to Dennis Williams. So it was Dennis Williams that turned down my request and stated that it wasn't intended for us. So I had to they sent it to the IEB, the International Executive Board. So that's where it's sitting now. If it's turned down by them, then it has to go to the National Convention to be voted on, which is a new, which was absolutely a new thing. I was like, what? So, as we know, it's 2017, I think, is the next convention. So I'm already gearing up. You know, we believe they're going to say no. Dennis Williams said no. He is head of this international, the IEB, so I have no reason to believe that it's going to come back. Yes, we intend it for you guys. So we're already gearing up and making plans for this convention. There's no reason that this should be happening. And as I've talked to you guys before on here, I believe that if any of us have issues, all of us should be preparing for that convention right now. Because we got to get those topics turned in so that they can be reviewed. You know how they do that. They review it and decide what's going to go to the convention for the votes. And you know, we're working on that. I want to get this out to way more people than it's to right now. It needs to be filtered through all of the auto workers' plants and stuff. So that's what I'm starting to work on right now, because I totally expect to get turned down on that. But because I don't believe that that's right. I think that it's very clearly stated, if it was intended that it not be for us, they should have specifically said who it was for. So,
you know, I got to interrupt real quick. In case, you know, this is the first time somebody's listening and you hear of a union that's being called United Automobile Workers or the UAW, okay, what that stands for is an international union that is titled, this is their official title, United Automobile, Aerospace, and Agricultural Implement Workers of America.
Mm-hmm.
We refer to that as the UAW. But the
correct.
Very first word in there is United Automobile. So to say that the Constitution wasn't written for the automobile worker, I would think that somebody needs to go smoke the rest of that left-handed cigarette they've started smoking, because it's pretty clear. It says United Automobile, Aerospace, and Agricultural Implement Workers of America. So,
right.
You know, that first word in there is United Automobiles. Well, it could be maybe they're out in space. It could be part of the space program. It sounds like they're pretty spaced out when they say stupid stuff like that. You know?
It is pretty stupid stuff. Yeah, it's disappointing. I mean, you know, clearly a mistake was made. Somebody needs to fess up to it and just deal with it. That's just it. Mistakes happen.
They didn't think any new hire would be smart enough to call them on it. How about that?
Well, they didn't.
Right.
They didn't count on a stubborn new hire.
So, yeah, exactly.
But,
good for you. Fight harder for that for everybody else than the people that's been there 30 years. They won't. They'll just, oh, well. Let it go.
I still am very much getting some of that from people. It's, well, Rebecca, they're never gonna change it. Or, you know, I have gotten some, be very careful because they'll make sure they silence you. You know, I've gotten a lot of different responses, and some of them are just, you know, is it worth it? Is it going to be worth it? And I was like, is it your money? Are you overpaying? And if you're not, if you were, would it matter to you? And you know, they're very much, yeah, we don't think it's right. They shouldn't be doing it. And then I'm like, well, then why do you have that frame of mind? Why
exactly.
aren't you fighting to hold them accountable? I mean, I had posted some stuff. I've had a very interesting and odd month or so, and online I've gotten some very very odd posts, and some of them were just like, why is it our responsibility to call these people on it? They should just be doing their job. I was like, well, do we just say that to the President of the United States? I mean, we're looking at all this election stuff. We have to make sure that our leaders are doing what we want, or they'll go off in their own merry way and do whatever they want. I mean, I think it's irresponsible.
Right.
It's very irresponsible for us just to say, well, you know, well, a couple of the committee people at my place when I filed that petition was like, that's above our pay grade. I'm like, oh, man, I really don't think you should be in a position, because if you think that's above your pay grade, then you're not representing me well enough, because it shouldn't be above your pay grade. And now I'm questioning what exactly you are doing for us, because this is an issue for us, and you need to be holding them accountable. See, I'm holding you accountable. You need to be holding them accountable. And if you're not, then you put me in a position where I have to do it. And so that's what I'm doing. You know, I got some grief about it, because, you know, I shouldn't be dealing with that level of union officials. I'm supposed to let the elected officials at my place do that. Well, okay, but then do it. And you're not. So I'm going to have to, because I don't think it's right. It's not fair. So I just think that's our responsibility, though. And
right.
to say
it
that,
is.
You know, I just don't. So that kind of leads into my second appeal that I filed with on the election, because they didn't let me run be on the ballot. Now, originally,
right.
there's just been just a lot of talk. I don't know how else to put that. He said, she said stuff. You know, I know what I was told, and I knew that I should get stuff in writing, but no one would give me it in writing. When I asked, why won't you put me on the ballot? Can I have that in writing, please? And no one gave it to me in writing. I finally got something from the head of the election committee after the fact, like when I was filing the appeal on it and after the election had already happened. And it wasn't even accurate, because they put in there that I didn't show to sign for my to run for it. Well, I showed and asked for it, and they wouldn't give it to me, and I was told I couldn't do it. So it was a very misleading letter. But I filed that appeal with the International, because when it came down to it, I had sought out information if there was any reason I couldn't run. And since there's nothing in writing, so I asked even up into the Solidarity House, but I checked with my region, I checked with my local chairman of the election committee, you know, our local chairman and everything. Of course, everybody gave me their opinion, but nobody could give me any factual. It says right here, you can't run. It says right here, you're not qualified. It says right here, all it really says right here is that you have to have 1 year in good standing. And I have that.
Right.
And so why can't I be on this ballot? I'm sorry. And everybody would tell me their opinion was that because I was part-time.
I'm paying full union dues. Why can't I? I'm a union member, good standing. I pay as much as anybody else in union dues. Why not? Please tell me again.
And what they say is because you're not seniority, and we honor seniority here. Now, I'm not trying to put down seniority workers. I respect them, and I have great respect for them and their years of service. That doesn't mean that I don't qualify as a ballot person to be on the ballot.
Right. Well, what the hell does that mean? We go with our seniority people. What the hell does that mean? I don't even know what I was trying to tell you.
Well, in our plant, seniority is looked at as if you have, and that's what I said to him. I said, I'm not waiting around 20 years just to run for an office. I'm sorry. I'm not going to do that. I have qualifications right now that could help this union. Either if you choose to allow me to help you, I will do that. But I'm not, you know, I'm going to wait 20 years to run for an office. But our plan is very much, if you have seniority, then you are able to be a good steward, a good committeeman, because you know how things work. Well, you may know a lot about the plant and about how the cars are manufactured and everything. That doesn't mean you know anything about how to run a union or how to do all that stuff. I said, I'm not going to say any names, but we had somebody who had probably over 20, probably close to 30 years, if not over 30 years, involved in this negotiation for this contract. Great. I have great respect for the man, but he didn't know anything. He didn't have any experience in that. And we sent him and set him up. And then we get mad at him because he didn't produce for us. He didn't know how to. And it's nothing personal against him. It takes education and experience to get that kind of, and then I'm not saying that I'm the hero and all savior for all that. But what I'm saying is that we set these people up on this pedestal of saying, because you've been here for 10, 20, and 30 years, you're going to be a great committee man, and you're going to be a great bargainer. What makes them a great bargainer? Because they've been working on the line for 20 years. I don't understand that. You know?
Well,
it's usually
the experience that these individuals carry with them if they're paying attention. It's not just the experience. Part of it has to do with your mentality, your mindset. Part of it has to do with how you feel about the membership. You know what I mean? There's a lot that goes into being a good steward, okay?
Right.
And one of them, Dick D'Angelo, you say there's two sets of people who run for office. There are those that go for the power and the money, and those that run for the honor and the privilege to serve the members. Okay, which one are you? Because that's all there is. Yeah, that's the two choices, you know. And the people who are there to run for the honor and the privilege to serve the membership, those are the ones that you want to send. They're the ones that are going to learn. They're going to read that contract frontwards, backwards, frontwards, backwards, and backwards, or frontwards again. And they're going to
right.
get information. They're going to try to help that membership out.
Right.
You know,
and they educate themselves, and
right.
they learn about what it takes to be a negotiator and to be on a bargaining. They take that time and educate themselves and
well,
seek out that
and
stuff.
And the experience is because if – and I'm not saying that this is a reason for somebody that has 1 year seniority, by all means, run. Everybody's entitled to run for something, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to argue that point with anybody. What I am saying, though, is that when they talk about seniority, hopefully the person who's running, let's say they have 10 years, they've had a couple of national contracts under their belt, and they know what was good and what was bad. Those are the people that are paying attention. Them are the people you want to elect and say, okay, this contract, the contract before it, stank. It stinks,
mm-hmm.
okay, and we're living with a bad contract now. What are you going to do to change this? You know, that's the people that you want to be attentive to, you know, that agree
yeah.
with you that, yeah, this is a bad contract. Yeah, we shouldn't have had tier twos or tier three, four, and five. And no, we shouldn't have had this, and we should have had this, and we should have got COLA back. And, you know, that's the person that International does not like, because what happens is they question the International's capabilities of negotiating. And when they question International and the IEB openly, they usually find some way to reprimand that individual. That's history. Anybody who's
yeah.
opposed to IEB openly has paid for it one way or another. I mean, we all know that. But,
yeah.
you know.
Well, and again, so, I don't want to make it sound like that I have anything wrong with it. I do. I respect that. And what you say is absolutely right. You know, they have seen that, and they have hopefully been a part of, you know, participating in that preparation for all that, and maybe even involved in that. But what I was saying was that just because I don't have that seniority doesn't make me somebody who couldn't be a good steward committee person or whatever it is.
Well,
you know.
Let me interrupt you for a minute, guys. Hold on for a minute. We've got about 70 seconds, this said. Now, I don't know if we can continue on or not. So if it cuts off, it's not me cutting us off. Now she just said 60
right.
seconds. So you
right.
keep going.
Well, let me say this real quick. But we can say goodnight in case we get cut off. Good night, everybody. And then you say good, and then I'll come back to this real quick. Understand something real quick. Article 2 on the objects of the UAW Constitution says, to improve working conditions, create a uniform system of shorter hours, higher wages, health care, and pensions to maintain and protect the interests of workers under the jurisdiction of this international union. Now, with that being said, the
they
one
fail.
Person who's not doing their job is the IEB.
Mm-hmm.
They have failed. Okay.
Well,
and for all the people to see our little new logo we have for the show, isn't that pretty? Just thought I'd throw that out there. That was from Rebecca the Badass.
Oh, is it up? I didn't see it. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
You never. You can go to the web. You can go to the Facebook page, and you can see it in all its redness.
Okay. Well, I'll have more new. I'm glad you like it. I enjoy doing that kind of thing. It's fun.
Good. I got another
cool.
one. I want. Another one, just for you, Rebecca the Badass.
So
no,
well, I'll have
finish.
more on I'll have I'll have more on an update on that, because what's happened is that appeal has been sent back. So our next union meeting is there is a vote on it. So I have to present it that I wasn't allowed on the ballot, and then our local votes whether or not I should have been on the ballot. I've been allowed to be on the ballot. So
wow.
That's going to happen.
When did,
well, good that, luck.
Well, that's
huh?
different. Yeah, good luck.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound right. She should have been on
yeah,
the ballot. But... Somebody admit it. Hey, yeah, you should have been.
Right.
There's no.
Well,
know,
I, that's what I said. That's what I said. If you're going to err, because this is a, it's, there is no, it's not even gray. There's no color to it. It's not there. So if you're going to err on whether or not I should do it, you should have erred on the side of the union member, I think. And then, because it's the union members that are going to decide, they would have voted me in or not. If they didn't want me in, they wouldn't have voted me in. And if they voted
that's
me
right.
in, then I should have been there. You know, there's just no, that's what I said, there's no good reason not to have put me on the ballot.
That's right.
Well, I can tell you a reason why, because they deemed you a threat.
Yeah.
I'm serious. That's coming from experience.
I was going to say, you and Terry Tobias knows all about that. You guys are threats, and Rebecca's a threat. And you can believe it or not, Rebecca, that he's telling you the truth.
Yeah.
You're rocking the boat. They're a little easy boat to have.
I know. I just have this uncanny ability to find odd things. Because you guys, I have another big bombshell for you for when we have time to talk. Because when I was in the workers' comp corner, is what I've called it now, I read through more of the contract again, and I did some more research on the EAP stuff that I told you guys I wanted to get involved with. And so I
right.
have the big information about that. So hopefully next week I'll be able to talk to you about it.
Yeah, we should tell you the show starts at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I don't know what time it is in Ohio. I thought it was Eastern Standard Time, but you guys are so backwards in Ohio, I have no clue what time it is. But here in Michigan, it's Eastern Standard Time, 7 p.m. if you care to make it.
I will try to make it. Hopefully I won't have anything happen. Because I want to talk to you, too. What happened to you at the Jeep Fest? I didn't see you.
I had
Brian
to do the
down.
Show. I know. I couldn't. It was 8 months ago. You're just
it
now asking me that?
This is the first time I've been on since then.
Well, I know. Texas Bob is around. He's my partner on Saturday night in Texas. He had his house broken into, and he had to fix a lot of things, and so he has been working, and he hasn't even been on our Saturday night show but once in the last month and a half. So he's the one that can board, because he knows how to run the board, and if he's running the board, I can go places. If it's outside,
okay.
I have to do it outside. See, I got to have an internet service. And he would have had it, and we could have done the show. And
yeah.
And
was,
I'm the only one.
It was
one.
Fun. It was fun.
Yeah,
did Brian tell you guys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
good. We have 40,000.
Go ahead, dear. Go ahead and brag.
We had 40,000 people at the parade.
That's
so
more than listening to, I believe.
I remember how many Jeeps were in there in the parade, but it was, I wish there was a way to put video or pictures on the chat thing, because I'd love to show you some of the pictures. They were amazing. You know, people came from all over the country with their Jeeps. And so there were a lot of different looking things. And we had the old, you know, Army ones and stuff like that. But one of my very favorite ones, this is kind of silly, but there was this really cool black Jeep, which, you know, it was nothing, you know, like some of the other things. It's a regular black looking Jeep, but they had a remote control car, Jeep toy, and they were driving it around the road, and it was doing tricks like the big Jeeps were doing. So it was, you know, it was really cute because some of the other Jeeps were doing some silly stuff and showing off.
Yeah.
So it was really a lot of – it was fun. I had a good time. And I,
Brian,
I get to see,
great time. Brian said he had a great time.
I forgot to ask him if he ended up seeing – we got separated for a little while. I don't know if he ended up seeing my art piece that I had was at the Toledo Edison Building for display. So that was kind of a nice thing for me that I had that down there. But
very nice.
Sorry, I missed
you. Did you take
your pets? Yes, I do. That's why I said, I don't know. I've looked at that thing. I don't know how to post a picture on it. I don't know that you can post a picture on that chat and the chat thing because I wanted to do that. I mean,
you can post something. You can post the other websites in there, and people can click on it and go to that.
I believe so. Maybe I'll try. I didn't think about a link. I was just trying to post the pictures. So, but maybe I'll try to do that then, because it was it was fun and I like to kind of show off. I should be embarrassed by that, but I kind of like to show off my little art piece because I love it. I was kind of proud of
that's
it, I guess.
Good. You should. Next week, if you remember 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Michigan time, just pop into the chat room and we'll try it out. We'll see if I'll get to it. It's my computer up. I won't go to it, but I'll have my my wife in the other room and on her laptop, just click on it and bring it up. And if it doesn't take her out of the realm of things on a computer, I can do it. Because if I do it, I might hang up on everybody. It might take me right on out of here. So after listening to Scott for it, or I wouldn't have mind a hang up earlier. I'm just saying.
Well, guys, I'm going to have to go. I'm going to get ready to slide out here and head for work. So I'm going to let you guys go.
Okay. Well, we might as well shut her down. And Rebecca, we hope you can make it next week. We understand. Don't worry about it. We understand what's going on. You take care of yourself and don't work too hard. Keep the hands straight. Keep it going. We know what that's about. It hurts. Eat a banana.
Yeah. Right.
Potassium in you. Yeah. Okay. On behalf of Scott Singledecker and myself, we'll see you next Saturday. No. Next Sunday. 7 p.m. Standard Time in Michigan. Okay, Rebecca.
Good night, guys.
Good night.
Okay.